coming to tell us. Maybe he's on the way.
Confirmed who will be attending, but we will have health centers, today, as well as mental health organizations. So it's going to be from 1 to 4, October 28th. We also have programs that are for all ages, Monday through Friday. We're on Instagram, and the schedule is right there. You can follow us at thechrysalis_monarch.
My name is Juan Carlos Lozano. I'm the Environmental Health Coalition Logan Community Organizer. We're going to be having a workshop in preparation for the APCB hearing on the indirect source rule coming up in sometime in October. It's going to be the 26th at Chrysalis. If you would like to join us, please let me know. And also, we're going to be having our community action team meeting, which we called for Community of Logan, on the 9th of next month. If you're interested, please let me know.
What was the date of that first?
The 26th, and it'll be at Chrysalis. And I think it starts around 4:30. That's correct, for the indirect source.
Those individuals were all linked to an investigation that FPD was conducting. They
that, but yes, they have let me know that there is retaliation, stuff like that does happen, because they don't want to pay into that, right?
One of the problems is this. The individuals that work with me, okay, there's 10 more out of the group. And just between I and the community, we need to take them out. Period. Bottom line.
Nice to see you all again. So I have just a couple of updates. So the 2024 Land Development Plan update was adopted by City Council in July. There is one item that is extremely relevant to Bayou Logan. That's the update to the related to the community plan implementation for Bayou Logan. The 2024 Land Development Plan update to that didn't make any substantive changes to the boundaries of the St. Paul's. It was just updating This is not in effect yet in Barrio Logan. Barrio Logan is completely within the coastal zone, so the 2024 Land Development Code update has been submitted to the commission for their review. We do not have a timeline yet for when that will be scheduled for hearing, but we hope to have more details on that as the year continues. Next, the Housing Action Package 1.0 received final certification from the California Coastal Commission and is now in effect for the coastal zone and in Barrio Logan. This was a set of code updates that implemented state laws related to housing to promote development of new homes at all affordability levels in San Diego. Next, we have on Tuesday, September 24th, city planning staff will be presenting an information item to City Council on the 2024 annual report on homes. This report provides an overview on home permitting data from the 2023 calendar year and includes the city's progress towards meeting the regional housing needs identified in the downtown housing element, recent home permitting trends, information on homes permitted by community planning area, and other topics related to furthering the city's efforts to furthering fair housing. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Annual report on homes, there's going to be a lot of good information presented.
Victoria, I'm wondering, the land
So, essentially, the transition zone itself, it clarified what that boundary was for the community. So, the map that had been originally placed was just the general area, and so this added a little bit more detail on what the transition zone was.
Will the
other members
be able to go over that
transition
zone?
Yeah, so I do have a little bit more detail about the community.
I thought it was clear in my head.
I think it's the C sheet itself, the way that it looked on the C sheet wasn't clear on that transition zone. There was like some pressure from the coastal staff, and so based on their recommended modifications, it was updated so that it was more understandable for people that aren't necessarily from the community looking at it or that hadn't worked on it before.
And then the HAP 1.0 that's now been certified, I know that's been
So there aren't any specific changes that would affect Barrio Logan specifically or that would call out a specific community. One of the big programs that was implemented through the Housing Action Package 1.0 was Senate Bill 9, which is the municipal dwelling unit from the city of Logan. So previously, prior to it being certified as a coastal commission, that was in effect in other parts of the city outside the coastal zone, but now that's a program that is residents or community members in Barrio Logan are interested in those objects to further develop their home. There are some updates to ADUs, but the local government is able to add a secondary home to the loss, but also the secondary home would be able to do like an urban lot split. So it's a little bit more than just the ADU clause. It's like a separate state laws that were implemented.
And those would be applicable to our single areas. Thank you.
No problem.
Oh, and one last question. What is the annual report on women's?
That is Tuesday. Yeah, so the 24th.
Good evening, everybody. Ron Powell, Port of San Diego. And tonight I want to gather think about the Port of San Diego four words. Not four letter words, but four words. Electric power and clean air. Electric power and clean air. Yesterday, the port celebrated the deployment of a two all electric harbor cranes at a 10th Avenue Marine Terminal. These two harbor cranes are the first of its kind in North America. that name on, you go to Ports of Canada, you'll find it. There's 280 plus commercial ports in the U.S. They don't have them, and they have them in Mexico. So this is a leap forward for our port here when it comes to clean air. Now these two electric cranes replace a diesel-powered crane that was our number one polluter of all the equipment during a 10,000 emission. So this is a step up. I'm gonna also mention the fact that it's very interesting that these two harvesters have a greater lift capacity than an old diesel crane. So it shows you that the port can be green and also still be competitive in the business world. So having said that, I want to thank the community and ENC and everybody that's been pushing the port to be better when it comes to reducing air pollution. We hear you and we're trying to do something about it. And this is a big leap forward for us. That's one thing. And one of the things that we're doing through our Maritime Clean Air program, and I have some information out on that, both here and also in the back. We want to make sure that the air that's coming from our industrial waterfront is as clean as it can be, and it doesn't affect the health of the people in our adjacent communities in Barrio Logan and other communities. And the other thing too, a lot of people don't think about this, but we have workers down there on the thermal system, and we want them to have decent air to breathe, and we want them to be healthy. So this is a win-win both ways for us. We just want to kind of tell people about it. Those cranes cost $25 million, and that's an investment by the port in clean air. And so, you know, we've been talking about doing things about clean air. We've been pushed to do it, and this shows that we're really doing something about it. Now I want to talk about the Maritime Clean Air Strategy itself. It was adopted by the board of port commissioners, and I'm with Michael tonight because he was one of the primary movers in getting us to adopt this Maritime Clean Air Strategy. And in that strategy, we actually point out 34 different measures that we want to take to clean the air. Some of that has to do with vehicles, a lot has to do with equipment, like those cranes, a lot has to do with shore power that we have installed, that it's in Downey, so that when these ships come into port here, you know how they used to run their diesel engine and you see these big plumes of stuff coming out, which is dirty air, but when they plug in down there, they can plug in the clean electricity and they can turn off those diesel engines so you don't have those air emissions. So all these things are really adding up to positives for the community and for the people that work on our industrial waterfront. So we had those 34 separate items. We've actually implemented 60% of them. So we think that's pretty good. And part of that too was that we identified 20 different pieces of equipment, including that crane out there together. And we wanted to transition to 20, all 20 of those to electric power. Again, cutting emissions. So far, we've actually been able to phase out 16 of those old things with new electric equipment. So again, these are all things that we're doing positively. And we recognize that we still have a ways to go, but we're making progress. And, you know, we've been able to also get our tenants to take part in this, our shipyards, our ship repair businesses, all the other actors on the industrial waterfront. They're all part of it too. And together, those tenants in the port have invested $125 million so far in clean air infrastructure and clean air upgrades. So we're moving forward. We're trying to do a much better job as a neighbor to the community. And this stuff shows that we're putting our money where our mouths are. And I want to just mention that we don't just put stuff on paper. We're really following up, and we're doing it. So if you want to get more information on the Maritime Clean Air Strategy and you want to go online to do it, there's a way to do it. You go to mcas@portofsandiego.org. Again, mcas@portofsandiego.org. So if you have questions, I'm here to answer those. And once again, I wish a lot of these things would have happened sooner, but they're happening. And we plan to move ahead and do more and do better.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, guys. Yes, John. I want to respond to that. I'm very familiar with what's happening in terms of the clean air action. And that's the end. You guys are way ahead of the game, period. And I want everyone within this community, the community, to know, okay, you guys have been you guys have been really downgraded, but man, let me tell you, you guys are number one, and you guys are actually putting action to your words, and I really appreciate that. But my family's been here for over 120 years in this community, and all I want to do is say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you.
That's great. But another thing that I want to mention also is that we have the first elementary sunboat. That we sit down with it, we plan to work through our charging infrastructure with the city. But that's coming along, and once we get that, it will be running free. And again, no emissions. That tugboat will take the place of a tugboat that used to use 30,000 gallons of diesel fuel a year. So you can imagine that there were a lot of emissions coming off that. So, you know, step by step, little by little, we're actually changing that.
Well, this is a great report. Is it available
electronically?
Can I get it in
20 years? Yes. And one of the things, too, let me apologize, because I talked to my colleagues about today when they brought it to me. The future ones will be in English and Spanish, and I'm really sorry that it's not.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the things that we talked about today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very powerful.
Yes.
Huge art.
We're making progress. And again, long time in coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have parking in sight?
Yes,
we are encouraging trolley use, and we'll have shuttles from that area, but because we're expecting many people, and we have a lot of parking.
Okay.
Depending on how it goes. Yeah, come on out. And just to put out part, the entrance is 8th Street and Harbor Drive. So tonight, our gate 9, there's a trolley stop right across the street. You'll walk across the street from the trolley stop, we'll have a shuttle with you.
Okay.
You can come to coffee. We're going to have coffee, food trucks, you name it.
Awesome. Thank you. Is anyone from the county?
Hi, everyone. I introduced myself last month. I'm still relatively new with the county. My name is Ernesto Castaneda. I'm a new community representative for the Office of Planning and Parking. roundtable for food justice. There's still a few dates available if you're interested in attending some of those two roundtables. So again, this flyer is also in the back. The last thing, I know David already mentioned it, I'm here to sell it again. The small business resource fair. Definitely think David's been calling for lightly.
For a while, so I've been gone. We're back, and we've been monkeyboxing us. So we've been doing the vaccines. We're kind of the only ones down here that are fine with providing vaccines. So feel free if you need a vaccine. We're here. We do that every other Thursday. So next Thursday, the county did let me know that. There's not that many vaccines going around. We are kind of the only people who have those. So that's what we're doing now. That's all I got. Thank you.
Yeah,
I hear.
So this is for the sorry. The second one. After the presentation last month, we adjusted the dates and circulated flyers around a bunch of areas around Barrio Logan. But the second workshop is this Friday in this room. 11 to noon.
Thank you.
the house that has the Husky.
Yeah.
Next to the firehouse. There's a firehouse, an empty lot, and then it has the Husky.
So you're next to
Karina's.
On this side, right?
Yeah.
Directly next to us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I go to Karina's.
I get the parking. I get it. Parking is extremely expensive to build. It's a matter of balancing, the affordability of those remaining non-restricted units. The reality is we have 3.5 years before this is delivered. I'm optimistic and hopeful we can work something out with that parking garage on the street.
You guys are going to be making money off of it for the rest of your lives, so I don't see why you guys can't build another ground park.
I can't get a bank to finance that. This project doesn't barely pencil as it is. There's no way a bank is going to lend you to do underground parking. It costs about $7,000 a spot to build that and then have the rent on top of it.
Have parking spots, we don't.
Yeah.
We fight all day. Literally for parking.
I have a parking spot and I believe in trespassing. So I think it's both those things. It's easy for me to say that. But that's where I'm at. I'll entertain a motion from the board on.
So out of those, I know you set up right now with Studios 23, but that goes with, like, for each category, those are still to the. Do you have those numbers as far as the number of the actual breakdown of the non-units that would go for the?
I think I know what you're asking. Like, how many two bedrooms, how many bedrooms, how many studios would be for?
Yes. Okay.
So, I mean, it goes to 11 affordable units. So, I mean, is it 23 out of 73 is. 3%.
be a part of the community and to do things that, you know, that I think and I hope align with the goals and wishes of the community. Trust me, I'm having I don't know that I'd do this again.
I think it's a great idea. You have such a quality ability to rent to people without money.
I've got parking spaces available at Hubbins and North Park. This isn't a project for me. I would want parking. This isn't a project for a lot of people in the room. There is demand, and there is a market for non-parking. Because people, folks that just don't have cars, or maybe using one or two.
How is it set up for seniors who might be
I can't guarantee that either.
I will entertain whoever can build this project the best thing that you just, you know, it's an open bid process, but generally speaking, the general contractor who I engage in contract with works has a specific, you know, stable of setup that we have confidence in. So a lot of times I'm not, in fact, I take a step away from choosing subcontractors so that I can have one point, one person, if something goes wrong.
I like the building. I like the garden. Everything is cool. It's like anything else, you know. I'm not for, you know, just working on this door for one of you guys that way, or at least open up a conversation, because that's a lot of parking space. That'd be cool for but I, you know,
program works is we are planting trees in any available city-owned land. For most of that, we're going to be street trees, so we're planting along the city right of way. Typically, as a fence forest property, and that's a lot what it looks like if you're Logan with Nigerian Heights. Other times, the sidewalk is right up against the curb, but the right of way does extend still about 5 feet past the sidewalk. Not planting trees in the front yard if they don't want one, but you still can apply for the program. We'll happily plant a tree. All the trees that get planted under this program are watered for 3 years. It's once a week this year. We've already started and once it's planted. After the first year, we're watering once every 2 weeks. After the second year, we're doing it once every month. The other aspect of this project, like I mentioned, is tree well installation. Really, what we're focusing on Mario Logan, I'll give you a shout out on that issue. But that's where if there's a sidewalk that's really, really wide for no reason, going in with the contractor, cutting up the sidewalk. So, just in general, we got a great update from the Port of San Diego about Port's air quality. Trees do a lot to ameliorate the more bad effects on trees from air pollution, the filtered air. Rainwater runoff, there's a lot that trees do, as well as beautifying the neighborhood and providing shade. That heat wave, I don't know if you've seen my going out under a tree was definitely something I did. And if you have more trees, you have more shade, you have cooler sidewalks, more walkable neighborhoods. If there's a shade in the neighborhood, business area, it definitely gets more foot traffic. What we're doing right now. First time I came, you guys were really questioning what kind of tree species we were planting. So I clicked, we pulled the list. So far, we've planted 816 trees in priority area one. These are the species we planted. Unfortunately, we didn't have a ton of large space or any large space, so we used the list we generated and used small species. But there's the list. The PowerPoint I handed you has a little information in case you want to learn a little bit more about those tree species. It's in the back after the part I'm going over. But if you want to learn anything, we've got that information as well as our main resources called Select Tree, without a team in the middle, or just one team in the middle, Select Tree. It's a website through the Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. It's really good information on urban trees. Good resource in case you want to learn more about Japanese fringe, Chinese spring acacia, Chinese fringe, desert willow, palo verde, the trees we've been planting so far. So like I said, we've planted 816 trees so far. We've watered them over 9,000 times. In just a couple of months we've had them. It's shocking how much watering costs. It does chew up about half of our crop bank. There's a reason the city hasn't been able to do it in the past, but under this program and the future Ringside Grow Grant, similar project, the watering industry is a big point going forward that we don't plan to have unless we have secure funding to water trees for at least 3 years. And like I said, we've got 162 potential tree well installations or widenings in Barrio Logan. This map here goes to the section of the priority area one, but part of the other, so go. These are the ones, the trees are the ones we've planted so far, and those black dots are where we're planning on. So, that's going really focused in Barrio Logan. I think there's only a couple in Sherman Heights, Logan Heights area. This is our working map, so I'm sorry that if you wanted to look at it, it's not really made for public consumption, but it does give a good idea of where we'll be doing this tree well installation. If you see an area that you think could use one, everything's not 100% finalized, so we may be able to adjust and add more. But please go to we have a webpage, sandiego.gov/trees-for-communities. There's a web form you can put in your address. That goes for any of the primary areas. It doesn't have to be Mario Logan. If you're in San Isidro and want to add a tree somewhere, please let us know. San Diego.gov Yeah, so I did questions just in case you have any questions. Okay. And I've answered them now. Oh, sorry, I gave you time off. So the contracting for the sidewalk cutouts has been a new aspect for the urban forestry program. Found a work through one of the existing contracts through one of the other departments. I'm meeting with the contractor set up next week, but we're planning on starting the cutouts in November, December. We will definitely reach out to probably Julie, but definitely get the council to let them know when we start to do work.
Would you happen to know how long the process is if somebody reports a three-year removal?
So it depends. We typically have two different schedules of our three-year removals. We send out an arborist. If you report something, our arborists go out and see it within 2 weeks. If they see something that they think this week is failing right now, send out a dispatch on an So if tree roots are the issue, then it's actually a sidewalk issue first. We will remove the tree potentially after we can do a root evaluation, but the sidewalk has to be demoed. So if our roadways department goes out to do the sidewalk repair, they demo the sidewalk, expose the roots, they can tell us natural leaf history, or can we root prune it and install a root barrier to work around it, which is what we would prefer to do. Sometimes that's not available and we have to remove the tree. But really, under the city's climate action goals, we're not removing trees unless it's actually active. And if it's a sidewalk, it has to be dip on sidewalk. If you put it in, if roots are the issue, you should put it in for a sidewalk repair, that's really who it would go to. You can't put it in for a tree. We'll go out and we'll evaluate the tree first, and then we'll just send it to the roof. Yeah.
So our best hope would go directly to
the sidewalk. Yeah. Okay. I'll be around here till the end if you have any more questions for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Following the adoption of the community plan in 2021, the community plan was submitted to the California Constitution for certification. In June of 2023, the California Coastal Commission conditionally certified the community plan with 53 modifications. The council adopted these modifications in November of the same year, and the commission from the Coastal Commission in December of 2023. That was presented to the community certified and in effect. The 2021 certification is to the general plan to the development of strategies, giving conservation of employment and the development in an area to access transit. It has 10 elements, each with goals and policies to make this a truly comprehensive plan. For this presentation, I'll be focusing on your policy changes adopted as a part of the 2021 plan. Gathering space, neighborhood park, community bike path, and open space. for more detailed changes on what was adopted due to postal commission modifications, I have included the staff report and the attached that show the breakdown of what was exactly changed. The zoning was updated as a part of the community plan package of action. So the action statement is to use the plan update to plan district ordinance, which is the county building, and adopting citywide zoning. It also added an overlay through the community implementation plan, or community plan implementation overlay zone, to tailor allowed use regulations, and further address conflicting co-location concerns and further environmental justice goals.
I want to clarify a little bit to the team here that our plan had like specific zoning, like our own zoning only applied to Colorado, and we have to go find it in our plan. And so what they did is essentially line up to search for permits associated with different properties and
Yes.